Hello, welcome to the Chess Boxing Podcast. This week we've got David Jarmany. Say hello.
Hi guys.
And we've also got Matt Crazy Arms Reed.
Hey everyone.
David, am I pronouncing your second name correctly?
You are indeed. Oh,
thank goodness for that. I'm not known for my pronunciation. Do you have a ring name yet, David?
I've not got a proper one yet, but something probably to do with I am a northerner. So maybe like the Northern Powerhouse or the Northern Beer Belly.
The Powerhouse sounds
You don't have a beer belly, so I feel that would be a bit of a misnomer. I don't really think we should have that. But the Northern Powerhouse or David the Dynamite, Jarmany?
Dynamo.
Double D?
He's
got a nice large chest.
David, I understand you've never listened to a podcast before.
I've never listened to any podcast before.
You going to listen to this one?
I am definitely going to listen to this one and see how silly I sound on tape.
Good, pleased to hear it. And Matt, how are you? Because you're just fresh from your fight last Saturday, aren't you?
I did, yeah. I fought on the Seasons Beatings, which was a fantastic show. I'd actually say it's my favourite show I've ever fought on.
Really?
It had a little bit of everything. I actually loved the new format of a five-fight card. Traditionally, we were normally a four fights of a night, so we had a fifth fight. And each fight brought something different to the table, I felt, in that we had a lot of action. I'm sure we'll come to that later in Anthony's fight. The Russian versus the Finn was high octane, and then we probably went a level above high octane, a thermonuclear maybe, and that was Toby versus I'm so terribly sorry,
Carl Ouch.
Toby versus Carl Ouch.
Carl, if you're listening, it's no offence to you from Matt.
No, not at all, mate. I love you, Carl.
Talking about the WBA World Light Heavyweight Champion, Carl Ouch.
Bad to say, and to be honest, he earned it, because that belt, he paid for it with every punch he took, and he took quite a few.
It's interesting you're saying that, though, about the card, because we had the chat with our partners, Protocol Sports Marketing. Shout out to you guys.
Oh yeah, Protocol
Sports. So Dylan and Lovell, and we were talking about how we've got quite a good cross-section of different bouts. So we're starting with some of the people that have not fought before, some of our newer fighters and the fighters from our gym, taking it slightly less seriously, a bit more characterful in terms of their ring entrances. We had a professional performance coach. So shout out to Kate.
Oh, Kate was absolutely amazing. So Kate's been working with us on our ring entrances
to
give us a bit more showmanship and a bit more sort of presence in the ring. And I think it really shown. If you haven't seen the fights last week, you can still watch them on the stream, I believe.
Yeah, twitch.tv/lovingchessboxing. And of course, so after the halftime break, we had three fights. And then the fourth fight was very, very technically impressive. Very good boxes. And then, of course, there was a lot of fireworks in the fourth fight as well. So I feel like we tried to get a nice crescendo. And I think each fight improved in terms of its entertainment value and the technical ability of the combatants. And yeah, it was a really well-rounded show, I thought. What do you think, Dave? Because is it the first time you've been to one of the shows?
It is, yeah. So I really enjoyed it. So I was sat on the sidelines doing a lot of the social media. And the standard of the chess, which I've seen really improve since my time coming to London Chess Boxing, and I really felt like that was excellent and really exciting, and the crowd were getting really into all the chess, hoping for yet another round. Even when the boxing was on, they wanted another chess round. And the boxing itself started off, you know, with some newer competitors, but still it was a decent standard. And then I'm sure we'll come on to Anthony later,
but keep saying that.
I hope you're listening to this, mate. I really hope you're listening to this.
But yeah, I should thank you, Dave, for doing the social media stuff. That was very much appreciated. And I think we saw a big impact in terms of our following. And I think we've had around 1,000 views on that stream now, which is really great. A lot of that is down to social media. And also to Dan, who did the Twitch jockey job as well.
Nice.
So yeah, I think we're improving each time, and there were some really cool graphics provided by Protocol Sports.
I love the on-screen stuff.
Yeah, the tale of the tapes.
Yeah, I was about to say, the photos that we literally took the week before the fights, we took at the gym, it was lovely to see them all photoshopped out and a bit stylized.
Yeah,
I actually looked mean.
You did actually look pretty good, didn't you?
Only on a photo. I didn't actually look good actually on the stream. I'm sure everybody will tell me that.
Well, let's start with your fight, as you're on the podcast. To talk us through your fight. So I've got a few ideas of how it went, but you start, Matt.
This is going to be like, did we watch the same thing? I suppose technically I took part in it. So I was against Cheyenne, and Cheyenne's actually a member of the London Chess Boxing Club. So normally I don't normally fight people from the club, but the last couple I have done. Cheyenne took the fight at quite late notice. I was supposed to be fighting Garoid, but Garoid got bruised ribs. He picked up that in sparring a couple of weeks before the event, and he had to drop out. So Cheyenne stepped up. It was a bout that was made at 75 kilos. We're both similar sort of standard chess players. So the chess was quite equal. The first round, I played my usual nonsense, which is B4 on move one.
This is the Polish.
This is the Polish, or the orangutan, or the Sokolsky. It goes under a number of names.
I like orangutan myself. Orangutan. Especially because of the long arms.
The long arms. But for those of you that are listening to the podcast and don't know who David is, David, who's joining us today, is our strongest chess player in the chess boxing club at the moment. So we've got a 2250, which is like having royalty at the moment. So
so you're up there in the at the heights around with Carla Ouch and that those kind of
So just for those of you that don't play a lot of chess, chess players have ratings. It's normally a four-digit number if you're any good, and the larger the number, the better you are. So let's just say if you can play a little bit of social chess, you play your dad at Christmas, you don't drop a piece on every move, you're probably anywhere between 800 and 1,000. If you played a little bit online and you played regularly but you haven't really studied, you're probably up to about 1,200. A little bit of study, you're up to a weakish club player, 1,400 to 1,600. Those that are a bit more experienced, played a bit of tournament chess maybe, they're now breaking into the 1,800s. 2,000s are people that take the game very, very seriously.
So what about artificial intelligence? What kind of ratings do they have?
Between 3,300 and 3,400. So 3,400.
So your best players in the world, your world champions, are about 2,800.
Yeah, okay, Magnus Carlsen at the moment, 2,880.
But before we get onto the AI, because we did have an AI taking part in the show.
We did.
I'll just jump in then, because I think Cheyenne's got a lot of combat experience.
He did.
He's done wrestling, and he's done a lot of
kickboxing.
Kickboxing and other martial arts.
And he brought nunchucks to the fight, which I thought was a bit rude.
That's true.
He brought nunchucks to a fist fight. Cheyenne, what were you thinking, mate?
We didn't actually bring them in the ring, though, did he, Matt? So...
He gave him to his cornerman. I thought, to be honest...
He also can do that weird backflip thing as well, which I thought he was going to do on stage, and he didn't do it.
I think he was worried about the slip, because he had to run on and then sort of like slide in and then do that sort of backflip up.
But I think he needs to... Well, I think we all do, which is something we try to do in training today, is learn how to fight inside and learn how to walk down a fighter, because you've got such long arms. And it was the same with Brian, that they couldn't get close enough to land a punch, and they were just completely open, and you were just landing 2, 3, 4, 5 punch combinations onto Cheyenne, don't you think?
I'm not sure he ever landed 5 punch
combinations.
No, he threw one punch and then stood back.
Yeah, one and two punch combos.
No, Matt is very modest, but actually
it's a fitness thing.
He's a good fighter. He's a definitely good fighter. I mean, he definitely showed you steel against both Cheyenne and Brian. And in the end, I think it was a relatively comfortable victory for you, wasn't it?
It's a bit... In the boxing, I felt comfortable because Cheyenne should have done what you said. High guard, walk me down, get in close, and then start wailing on the real estate that is my huge torso. He didn't do that. He was only throwing ones and two punches, though they were very hard punches. That's an experience thing. In the chess, he actually pushed me quite hard. I got a singular pawn advantage at the end of the first round. And I really struggled. I played quite negatively, quite defensively, trying to protect this pawn advantage, and that allowed him a bit of activity. If it wasn't for the fact that he was a little inexperienced and that he played quite a quick move when I offered, I basically sacrificed a pawn, allowing him to take it, which allowed my queen into the game. And from that point, I felt quite comfortable. Two or three moves later, it was checkmate. Mm. But I do feel that Cheyenne, for a debut fight, I think he did fantastically. I believe that I wouldn't want to fight him again. I think in terms of the rematch, I feel that he'll put the guard up, he'll work harder on his boxing, and we're going to see a completely different result. So,
yeah, I think the nice thing was that you were both quite even on the chess. So I think if he could work on his defence and trying to move you around the ring a bit more, I think it would be a much closer affair.
But I mean, I think kudos to a man that takes a fight at 2 weeks' notice. Absolutely. Who's never been in the ring before, steps up and did fantastically.
Yeah, so thanks, Sean. Thanks for that. And putting on a great show.
And also one of the best ring entrances. He had a very good ring entrance.
Wasn't the best, though, was it?
No, we should come on to that now.
I think we should.
Now or later, because we keep saying we'll come on to it later.
So just if you didn't watch the show, you need to go and watch it online.
It's probably at about the hour and a half mark, roughly, on the stream.
A star was born, this show. His name is Toto the Robot. A little bit of background, actually. We were going to call him the robot, but he'd originally in his form put down Toto, and by the time he wanted to change it a couple of days before the show, I'd already sent all the information to the graphics guys at Protocol Sports, so we actually couldn't change his name to Toto. So then we decided, well, he's going to be dressed as a robot, so we went for Toto the Robot. He came onto the stage, and he'd pre-prepared a dance to the music It's Raining Men by the Weather Girls.
I know, a great track, a dance floor filler.
Absolutely incredible. The crowd went ballistic, as you can imagine. No one was quite sure what was going on. This humanoid chess robot.
He's wearing a full body suit, including over his head and face. So you're basically looking at sort of like amorphous kind of...
It's basically a morph suit, essentially. And then he actually played the first round of chess in his morph suit.
Yep.
Which he nearly won the bout in that first round.
And he's a chess computer, so I'm not surprised. he could do 45 million calculations per second. And he managed to lever open Otto Bismarck's kingside, if you remember.
Yep.
So he was looking very healthy on the board. And then what happened after that, David?
Well, the boxing round started, and 17 seconds later, his head hit the canvas.
Because I was a bit worried that I was thinking, perhaps Otto is better than we had expected. But actually, looking back at it, I think both fighters, there wasn't a lot of defending going on. Both fighters were landing a lot of punches, and actually, it could have quite easily been the other way around. Yeah. If you look at the fight. But yeah, so I think they were both very enthusiastic, never fought before. They threw caution to the wind.
Yeah, rush of blood to the head as well.
And they were just wailing on each other. And I think Anthony was unlucky enough to get caught with a right. And then he sort of stumbled back and he tried to throw back, which is quite a natural thing to do. But then he got caught again. Yeah, and he went down.
It was like a lead right hook almost. Mm. Lovely punch. But I think it's the guard again. Slipped down.
Yeah.
Yeah, there was the guard wasn't there, and
also if you're throwing back, you've got no stability. You're kind of off balance if you're throwing, and then if you get caught as you're throwing, then you're going to definitely get knocked off your feet.
Yeah. But that comes with experience. I mean, kudos to Anthony, it's his first fight. It takes a lot to get into that ring, whoever you are. And he's already, you know, he's absolutely fine. He's been checked out by our medics, who are great, by the way. So thanks to Team Medic, who do all of our shows. Anthony's absolutely fine. He's already said he wants to get back in the ring. He's already saying he wants to work more on his defence. So you will be seeing Toto the Robot again. Don't worry. He will be about.
To be honest, I think he's got to come back. He's definitely got brand recognition now. And that's what you need in chess boxing. You need people to know who the hell you are.
And I have to say, it's hard almost to remember any other parts of the event because his entrance and his performance and his exit really dominate it, in my mind anyway.
I mean, yeah, it was a standout. Both the entrance and the exit were definitely memorable. But I would say that bout number four, the Finn versus the Russian, was one of the highest quality boxing and chess sort of contests we've ever seen. So in terms of the overall standard of the chess boxing, I thought that was brilliant. And then moving on to our world title, which was our main event of the evening. And the same time as roughly Anthony Joshua was demolishing Andy Ruiz, we had Toby Sloby White and Carl Ouch.
Yeah, so shout out to both of them. Well done, Carl, winning the belt. I have to say, though, Toby really gave him a run for his money. There was a lot of good combinations landed on Carl.
Chess player versus the boxer.
And there was exactly a standing count, wasn't there?
There was a standing eight for Carl. So basically, Toby sort of backed him into a corner, hit him about three or four times before getting the fifth shot through quite cleanly, which definitely stunned and rocked Carl. And then I think there was a couple more punches came in before Ronaldo, who's our amazing Cuban referee, sort of jumps in the middle of them and basically administers the eight count just to check that Carl is basically responsive and that he's clearly with it and he hasn't been concussed with an early blow. I mean, I just sort of say that this was the first chess boxing bout in a long while where it was competitive, but not in the fact that they were evenly matched. We had a much stronger boxer against a much stronger chess player. And I felt that in that round, just when the standing eight count was delivered, I was going to say that it was going to be won by the boxer. I was pretty certain Toby was going to get another standing eight count later on in the round, and that Ronaldo would just sort of say that Carl wasn't giving back enough, wasn't being defensive enough, and that for the safety of Carl, he was stopping the bout.
Yeah, I wondered if Carl was going to take a knee, and actually, when they got back to the board, it didn't seem to affect Carl at all. He was still pretty on it. Like, whereas, I don't know if you... Did you watch the Cameron fight, David? Cameron Toby?
Yes, I did, yeah.
Yeah, so that you could see that it really affected Cameron's chess.
Yep.
And he made a couple of very, very poor moves. Whereas Carl didn't seem to affect him at all. I mean, he can take a punch, the guy, that's for sure.
Yeah. So for those of you that haven't seen it, Carl made, I think it was something like 21 moves in 16 seconds. So, I mean, just imagine that. In chess, you've got to think of the move. After your opponent's made his move, you've got to think of what you want to do. And then your brain's got to tell your arm which piece to pick up. You've got to move it, put it down again, let go of it, and hit the clock. And he's just done that in under a second, 21 times in a row.
What else was very spectacular about that exchange between the two of them was the checkmate, because I think, whilst I would certainly put my hand up and say I thought Carl had blundered his queen.
Yeah.
And I think the commentators did. I'm pretty sure Toby did.
Toby did. Well, I heard him say it in the dressing room. He thought, I've got my way back in this. He's just blundered his queen.
Yeah.
I think the whole crowd did as well, because everyone sort of went up in the air, and I was sat next to the commentators, and they just sort of shouted, oh, his queen's gone, and then didn't realise that the rook was coming down for checkmate, which was very spectacular.
Great way to end the event and the bound. Great way to win the belt, thoroughly well deserved. That was a great way to end the event, as I said. And also, I think we should also talk about the first bout, which we haven't talked about too much.
No, it's a good point.
What did you think of the fake tan?
So, I've got to admit, I was the second bout. I haven't even seen the first bout, even on the stream.
So oh, really?
I know nothing about it.
Okay.
I never want to go and watch the fight before mine, because A, that's your warm-up time, and the time for you to spend with your corner to discuss some tactics, and the time to basically try and get rid of your nerves.
If you've not seen it, let us talk about it then.
Go on.
And if anybody's not seen the fake tan, go and have a look on the London Chess Boxing Instagram page and scroll down, and you'll see Mark Sidwell's amazing fake tan. It is beautiful.
So, Mark Sidwell, the angry man with a fake tan. I think, because in the performance workshop we did, what he sort of, his sort of persona developed and came as sort of an angry person. But actually, when he was fighting, I don't think he was acting at all. Like, he was seriously angry.
He put so much effort into both his training for his boxing and for his chess. It's the sort of dedication we want to see from debutants.
So basically he sort of lent into his ring name, which is the Essex Bombs. He's originally from Essex. So not only did he have the fake tan, I don't know if you saw, but he had two tattoos of chess pieces.
Yeah, I know, I saw
he had a bomb on his arm. So really, and he also, I think Mark, in his career, what he does is, he's a journalist, and he made this amazing magazine cover. I don't know if you've seen that of him. He really lent into his character as the Essex Bomb. And I thought, initially, oh, well, it's all a bit of fun, really. It's his character. But actually, when the boxing went on, every time, it was a bit like Brian, every time he got punched, his just face just was like thunder. I was like,
it's so scary.
Petrified.
Having seen these people and sparred against them, especially with Brian, who I fought in the ring, you hit them and they look so mad. It's so off-putting.
Mm.
Because you're like, I'm literally against like a rabid dog here.
It's the opposite. Do you remember George Crespo? He's just a grin.
Oh, I know. To be honest, I was about to say, I quite like that. The sort of smile. You got me good there. The little nod of respect. And then off you go again. It's these people that just, they put all their emotions into it.
So, David, you worked with John on his chess. How did you think that went for John?
I thought he played really, really well compared to his October fight.
Mm.
So, in October, as a bit of background, he was fighting Peter. And the chess was not the best quality, to be perfectly honest. But then this fight, he'd really put some good effort into the chess. And whilst there were evident improvement points, he put so much effort in and like his heart and soul into it. And it was really nice to see that improvement in such a short period of time. And he had Mark on the ropes in the chess.
Yeah, I think, although of the night, I'm sure the guys won't mind me saying that it was probably the least high quality chess game in terms of entertainment, and you know, it swung from one to the other, and it was actually, you know, one of the more entertaining.
It's crowd pleaser.
It really was. I should just say thank you to all our fighters and everyone who took part in the show. and the guys from Protocol Sports who gave us those amazing graphics.
Yep.
And all the people at home who watched as well. We got a really good crowd on the stream and all those people that bought tickets. If you haven't watched the show, you really should. It's one of our best shows. You can see it on twitch.tv/London Chessboxing. Our next event is on the 14th of March.
It's going to be an epic.
It's going to be an epic. And before we go, we should just talk about that, David, because you're hoping to fight on that show, aren't you?
Yes, I am indeed. Looking forward to it.
Yeah. And
against the Finn, I believe. Is this who?
So this is not confirmed. We've just been in discussions with Tero.
I fought Tero, yeah.
Yeah. Great guy. In fact, all the Finns are. I thought Sakari particularly was a really nice guy. Otto
top,
too.
Top chap.
Top guy. So I'm sure Paulie will be in the same vein. I don't know. I've not seen Paulie fight. We're going to get some videos across. We're going to get all the details of him. But yeah, he's a novice. He's a heavyweight. So hopefully we'll look to match you together and we'll get you in the ring and see what you got.
Indeed. Looking forward to it.
I reckon future world championship. So for future world champion in David sitting right here in the studio.
Well, let's not get ahead of ourselves, shall we?
No, come on. let's be bold. David Jarmany, future heavyweight champion of the chess boxing world.
Okay. I'd like to see that happen. It's definitely possible.
Mm.
So, David, what's your favourite chocolate bar?
My favourite chocolate bar?
This is the most important part of every podcast.
Ooh, I'm going to go a little bit controversial.
Oh, dear.
Bounty.
He had finger of fudge last time.
bear in mind, you're asking this to a person who's diabetic.
Are you? I thought yeah, that was a bit of a joke this morning.
No,
sorry. You not see him injecting up in the cafe?
No, I didn't. Sorry.
Oh well.
Sorry, I didn't.
So that's
that was
really
serious.
Insensitive.
Is this the bounty that's blue or the bounty that's red? Because I think the red one's the dark chocolate version.
I feel terrible for even asking the question.
I think diabetics can eat chocolate. Okay, I think right. They can regulate their blood sugar level. So it's not like it's, you know, asking a vegan what their favourite burger is.
Okay. Well, a mushroom burger if you're a vegan.
Yeah,
probably,
true,
yeah.
So are you talking about a normal bounty or a duo? A triple? Or is it triple?
Oh,
is
it, triple well, it depends. If my blood sugar's low, I think a triple. Uh-huh. If my blood sugar's high, then I'll probably go for a glass of water.
Okay, and it's classic bounty because you can't get like dark.
I'm not sure I've ever had a dark bounty.
I think you can. You can definitely get a variation. It's kind of red.
Red. I think.
But I don't know what it denotes.
I think red is the dark chocolate version. But maybe there's a listener of a podcast that could probably email us in.
Yes.
Info at londonchessboxing.com.
Yes, Richard and Guitar, if you know, email us in.
Yes, if anybody could give us a clue of what the red bounty is, I'm sure we could Google it, but we're not going to.
And Matt, are you still finger of fudge?
No, I'm going to change. I mean,
it's called fudge finger, isn't it?
I think it's just called fudge. But
it's called a fudge finger. YouTube, okay, so you're going for a different one though.
I think I would. I think this day and age, I quite like those Freddos. They're quite small.
The little frogs.
The little. Yeah.
I mean, the Freddos ones. That used to be
10p, but they're 10p, now, like, but they're now 37 or something.
Yeah,
37.
Well, they've shot crazy, up in price.
It's like those amazing.
Between that and the wagon wheel.
Those amazing crisps when you used to go to the corner shop and you got Space Raiders.
Yeah, 10p. I think they still do them at like 15 or something. They're still very cheap, the Space Raider.
The packets are tiny though, aren't they? It's basically just a handful.
Well, yeah.
But those are quite good. There's loads of like E numbers and salt on them, isn't there? It's delicious.
Yeah, I was about to say, I love my E numbers.
All right, guys. Well, anything else to contribute to the podcast before we wrap it up?
I love E-numbers as well. My favourite E-number is E4.
E4? Okay. I'll counter that with E6.
Oh, is that a chess pun?
I didn't know you were French.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, the podcast is taking a turn for the worst, guys. But we will see you in a couple of weeks' time. I think we're going to take a bit of a Christmas break. There's no training for the next 3 weeks. But we're all going to take it nice and easy over Christmas. We're not going to drink. None of us are going to smoke, obviously. We're going to train hard. And we're going to come back in 2020 like athletes.
Very good, Matt. Great sentiment. We'll see if it actually happens.
Of course it will be. Crazy's going to get crazy.
Okay, well, that's it from me, Grievous Body Farmer.
The Northern Powerhouse.
The Northern Powerhouse.
I love that. That's going to stick now. Yeah. And for me, Matt Crazy Arms Reed.
So we'll see you in the new year. Have a great Christmas from everyone at London Chess Boxing.
Happy Christmas.
Merry Christmas.